From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, January 9th. I'm Abby Larico. STLPR's Lucretia Wembley sat down this week with a woman who moved to the U.S. from Caracas, Venezuela 7 years ago and now lives in St. Louis. She says U.S. involvement in her home country was desperately needed.
Do you guys know what it feels like to be pointed out with a gun and that happening like more than 5 times in your life? It's not normal.
Hear about her experience in Venezuela coming up after this news on The Gateway. Missouri U.S. Senator Josh Hawley broke with President Donald Trump on a measure barring military action against Venezuela without congressional authorization. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more on the Republican senator's decision.
Hawley joined 4 other Republicans in backing Democratic Senator Tim Kaine's War Powers Resolution. It comes days after Trump ordered the invasion of Venezuela, which led to the capture of its president, Nicolas Maduro. While other Missouri Republicans backed Trump's decision, Hawley remained mum on the Venezuelan invasion. He said in a statement on Thursday, quote, "My read of the Constitution is that if the president feels the need to put boots on the ground there in the future, Congress would need to vote on it." Hawley's vote could spur more speculation that he plans to run for president in 2028. He's diverged from Trump on some key issues, such as his support for stricter regulations against big tech companies. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Republican Senator Eric Schmidt voted against Kaine's resolution, while Illinois Democratic Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth voted for it. Property tax relief is a priority for Missouri Senate Republicans this year. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran reports on the moves already being made early in the legislative session.
Senator Tony Lueckemeyer says real estate property tax relief was the number one issue at the Republican state caucus retreat in November.
No one should be taxed out of their home by government. This concern has united our caucus and has also drawn bipartisan support based on some of the bills that have been pre-filed.
Lueckemeyer says rising assessments and higher property taxes are becoming unsustainable for Missourians, especially seniors and working families. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County Assessor Jake Zimmerman is running for county executive. The Democrat made his candidacy official Thursday, contending that he has the track record to stabilize St. Louis County government. In addition to serving as county assessor since 2011, Zimmerman also got elected 3 times to the Missouri House. Zimmerman says his office has operated without drama or scandal compared to lingering contention and controversy that's stuck with the county executive's office.
This is the moment where we decide if we want to be governed by adults who are going to move things forward and get us back to basics, or whether we're going to keep playing the same games.
Zimmerman lost the 2020 Democratic primary for county executive. He will face State Senator Brian Williams in the Democratic primary. Incumbent county executive Sam Page is not running for another term. A St. Peter's man will spend 15 years in prison for a drunken crash that killed a St. Louis police officer in 2024. A judge in St. Louis handed down the sentence to 25-year-old Ramon Chavez Rodriguez. He pleaded guilty in October to felony DWI and driving without a valid license. Speaking through an interpreter, Chavez Rodriguez told the court yesterday that the death of Officer David Lee was an accident, and he asked his family for forgiveness.
I am human. I didn't want somebody to lose his life. I never wanted anything like that. I didn't have that idea through my head.
Because he is in the country without legal status, Chavez Rodriguez will likely be deported back to his native Honduras when he finishes his sentence. St. Louis's police chief will make $100,000 in his new side job with UMSL. The University of Missouri-St. Louis announced this week that Robert Tracy will work to evaluate and improve the classes offered by UMSL's Criminal Justice Department. Terms of the deal were not initially disclosed, but Tracy confirmed yesterday that he will be paid $100,000. Tracy receives a city salary of $183,000. The UMSL contract is intended to make up for a boost a police charity had previously provided. Missouri will receive millions in federal dollars to expand high-speed internet access across the state. Governor Mike Kehoe said yesterday the National Telecommunications and Information Administration approved Missouri's plan to invest more than $814 million to expand broadband access to over 200,000 areas in the state. Kehoe said in a statement that the investment strengthens the economy and supports rural communities and, quote, creates new opportunities for families and businesses across Missouri. According to Kehoe's office, the approval will allow the state's Office of Broadband Development to enter into agreements with internet service providers to extend broadband networks. The service will be provided by fiber, satellite, wireless, and cable. These providers will have 4 years to complete their work under the program. St. Louis officials are still waiting for answers about the scope and impact of a proposed data center at the vacant Armory property in Midtown. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri has been following this.
The 44 questions came with new rules on data centers passed last September by city leaders. The order requires the questions be answered before the estimated $1.5 billion project in Midtown continues. But the city's zoning department says more than 3 months since THO Investments and Sims Building Group received the questions, none have been answered. That's following a large public pushback against the project. Lauren Filla is part of a community group opposing the project.
They should be able to answer a question as basic as, you know, what measures will you take to suppress fires? How will this affect water use daily, weekly, monthly, yearly?
One of the project's developers, Rod Thomas, says the answers are coming in a matter of weeks. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
The sinkhole in Alton that's been full of water for months is now being drained. An excavation company started pumping water out of the massive hole earlier this week. The sinkhole formed in June of 2024 after a limestone mine collapsed below a soccer field in a public park. The city government wants the water to be drained so its engineers can double-check suggested repairs by the company that operates the mine. It's estimated that draining the pit will cost between $35,000 and $53,000. St. Louis health leaders issued a health advisory this week, warning flu cases are surging in the city. The percentage of emergency room visits in St. Louis for respiratory illnesses is at its highest level of the season. Flu activity usually peaks around late January, and right now the number of reported cases is spiking upwards. St. Louis Health Commissioner Victoria Anwori says just 1 in 5 adults in St. Louis is vaccinated.
It's perfect time to get the vaccine because the peak of the season is going to be here in about 3 to 4 weeks. And so your body, if you get the vaccine today, your body will have 2 weeks to build up the immunity.
The trend extends across Missouri and Illinois, where officials in both states report very high levels of flu activity. In Illinois, state officials say just 25% of residents have received a flu vaccine as of the end of December. Maria Machado moved to St. Louis several months ago from Florida. She has no relation to the Venezuelan opposition leader and recent Nobel Peace Prize winner Maria Corina Machado, but she did leave the country fleeing political prosecution in 2017. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro was captured by the U.S. last weekend, and Machado says Venezuelans have faced severe poverty and civil rights abuses under his regime. Machado sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley to share some of the dangerous situations she's faced in her home country and why she believes U.S. involvement was the right move.
I feel that the world sometimes don't understand, like, what we have been going through. In the years of the Maduro and Chavez regime, me, personally, I was attempted to be robbed or killed more than 7 times. I was kidnapped once. My daughter was kidnapped once. I mean, do you guys know what it feels like to be pointed out with a gun and that happening like more than 5 times in your life? Do you think that's normal? Does anyone can think that's normal? It's not normal.
Would you mind sharing a little bit about what happened when you were kidnapped?
The guy that kidnapped us, he was driving like 100 miles per hour, and he was about to crash into a truck. And with this heavenly protection, I stood up. I went over, like, above this guy, and I took the steering wheel. I actually drove the car, and I felt this huge strength, like at the end they let us go. So that's a miracle. And I think that faith is what keeps my people together and what has kept together most of our families for in this horrible 27 years of dictatorship that we have gone through.
You've been in the U.S. since 2017 and in St. Louis for a few months. Any plans on going back to Venezuela anytime soon?
I don't even have a valid passport anymore. So that's, I will have to start by that. So that's, it's really bad. They even canceled the passports for people that were opposed to the regime. I mean, I had to give away my house. So basically, I have nothing to go out to.
Some people are critical that President Trump led the U.S. to invade Venezuela to capture Maduro, and others say it was necessary. What is your take on the nuance and the different perspectives?
I understand that people can be confused about why would the Trump administration act in this way. Because of my father educated me in those matters, there are some strategies that have to be kept confidential. There was no way to discuss that in public or in Congress without Maduro's regime being aware. And then none of this would have been possible. I don't agree with some of the things that happen to people here in this country. Like, not everyone is a criminal. Not everyone is guilty or something. Because in Venezuela, they throw people in the Helicoide, which is a horrible jail in the middle of Caracas. They don't give them food. They put them like with cockroaches and they throw water on them. It's horrible.
So you still have family over in Venezuela? Do you keep in contact with them?
Yes.
Okay. How are they doing?
Well, they are happily in silence. Because they cannot even manifest that they're happy because they took Maduro out. But they are there, contained, and, you know, surviving. That's all I can say.
That was Venezuelan immigrant Maria Machado speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. You can read more about Machado's story at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.